Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. Again, that's Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. And so let's go on a picnic with Peter today. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. And so when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And I looked at it closely, and I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, and then everything was pulled up again to heaven. And at that very moment, three men, sent to me from Caesarea, arrived at the house where we were. And the Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had fallen upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So I want to ask y'all a question. How many of you are like me, aggressive rule followers? I discovered this about myself during COVID. Okay. I found that my wife and I both are aggressive rule followers, and I'll tell you what that means. It means that we're people who know what the rules are, whatever those rules are. Now, they may be where to turn on the road using your turn signal. It may be, you know, not setting off fireworks at 3 a.m. It may be, you know, not blowing your grass into the road. It could be, you know, turning in your paperwork on time at work, or back when you were in school, getting your group project parts done, right? And when somebody doesn't do those things, somebody like myself and my wife, we just get so annoyed, right? We're like, "But don't you know that's what you're supposed to be doing?" Now, is anybody else one of those folks? Anybody else struggle with being an aggressive rule follower? And what I found out is that, what I have discovered over time, is that we live in a world where people just don't care about the rules a lot of times, right? And that can be really frustrating, right? Especially if you're somebody who's like, "But I did it. You should have to do it," right? "Hey, I slowed down for this. I stopped at the stop sign. How come you got to go through the," right? All these little things. And I find myself getting annoyed by those things all the time. And so this Peter story, I find myself a little bit, I have sympathy for Peter here, right? Because Peter sees this vision, this new vision, telling him a new thing from God. And his first response is, "Nuh-uh. I follow the rules. You gave us a whole book, right? The Torah. I read it. I know what it says. It says don't eat that stuff. I'm not going to eat that stuff. You can't make me," right? And then the voice comes back, "Don't call unclean," right? Imagine the shock to Peter's system, right? "I follow the rules. I'm proud of how I follow the rules." Peter is the same way, right? He's proud of his following the rules. But this whole passage is a challenge to us. What are our rules, and who made the rules, right? So I want you to think about that. Who made the rules, and who decides who follows them and who doesn't. So I want to tell you, so this last yesterday was Harper's second birthday party. Okay, don't tell her I'm not talking about her bad in the sermon. Okay, yesterday was Harper's second birthday party because she had to have one for the family, and then she had to have one for the school buddies, and it was just a whole thing. Okay, and but at this one, we sat around with some of the parents, and we talked about what's going on in their lives, and we heard some of the struggles they're going through, some of the things that are really exciting for them, how crazy expensive gymnastics are, and all that kind of stuff, right? We learned a lot, okay, things that we didn't know, because we've only got a seven-year-old. What we found out is one of the ladies in our group, she is ex-military. She met her husband in Afghanistan, okay? They were both on doing a tour duty in Afghanistan, and the funny thing is, there was a bug at the party, and it flew near her head, and it scared her to death. And I'm like, lady, you've done multiple tours of duty in the military, and there was a bug. People are confusing, right? But anyway, she was telling us about how she's having trouble picking up her daughter from school, who's Harper's age. And we said, what's the issue? Oh, well, my husband, he's off in Turkey right now. He's a consultant now for the military. And so he was off for 5 weeks in another country. Well, she's got three other daughters who are upper middle school to high school age, and this little girl in first grade. And so she works, and her daughters, only one of them can drive, and she has a job. And so in order to pick up her daughter from school, the other girl has to check out of high school, come pick her up, take her home. It's a whole big thing, right? And she went to the elementary school, and she said, hey, can my little girl be in after school for the next, like, it's almost the end of school, right? There's like 2 weeks left. Can she be in the after school? Nope, I'm sorry, all the spots are full. Those are the rules. Now, is that a silly rule? For 2 weeks, right? Now, to her credit, she didn't play any sort of card. Imagine if she had just said, oh, okay, well, I'll tell my military serving husband all that, right? Imagine if the people who'd made the rule thought for a second, right? They'd been, oh my goodness, thank you so much for your service. Let us make sure that she has a place to be, right? And yet they didn't, because they were so focused on the rules that they would rather a child have struggles, rather a parent have struggles, than just opening up another spot in the classroom, letting the kid run around with the other kids after school for a couple of weeks, right? But we have rules, and those rules must be followed, right? And that conflicts with my aggressive rule-following thing, right? So I'm a contradiction. I also look at rules that I think are stupid and they annoy me, okay? So that to me is a stupid rule. Another example of a rule that I think is not a good one. Harper used to watch this show and it got canceled, but it's called Emily's Wonder Lab. I don't know if any of you watched it. It was on like Netflix or something, or streaming, I don't even remember. But this young woman, she was pregnant at the time, and she did science. She was a scientist, and she did all these different experiments for kids, and she would explain how things worked. It was really cool, and Harper loved it, right? But she had her baby. Well, she was off to go to a conference, and she went through TSA, which you can see where this is going, right? She went through TSA. She didn't have her child with her because she left the child at home with her husband and family, right? Because, you know, newborn, airplane, not the best. She didn't want to do that. But she's nursing. So, you know, not to be crude, but you can't just turn everything off, right? And so she had all of her equipment with her, her pumping materials, her bags, her stuff to keep everything cool, right, that you need if you are nursing, right? And so she had that with her, and the TSA people took her bags of milk that she had pumped. They took the ice packs because they weren't completely solid and said, we're going to throw it away. And she said, you can't throw these away. This, you know, this is for my baby. Well, you didn't bring your baby with you. Yeah, I can't just like flip a switch and not, you know, be making milk for my child, right? And so this whole thing, the rules say you can't have liquids on the plane, right? But the rules have to have some heart in them, don't they? You have to apply them in a way that has common sense and compassion and love instead of just, well, it says no more than 3 ounces. I don't even remember, but it's a small amount. And you know, this, right? The amount of stress and strife that it caused this young mother, it's not worth upholding the rule. And I give you these two examples because I want you to think about the rule that Peter was following. So in essence, the rule that Peter is following is, in the early church, at the very beginning, in order to be a follower of Jesus, you had to first be Jewish. And this is great for women, because it's easy to become Jewish as a woman. In fact, sometimes you can just be born that way, right? In fact, it goes through the mom, Jewishness. For lack of a better term, being part of that religion goes through the mom. But men had a little bit more of a difficult path to becoming Jewish. If you were an adult male, if you're a young male, then at the certain time, then you go and you have a procedure done by the rabbi at the synagogue, and it's a big exciting thing called a bris, and you're circumcised, and it's the mark of the covenant for Jewish people, especially back then. But for grown men, you can see, right, fellas, why this might have been a barrier to wanting to join a particular religious group, right? Some men might have said, no, I don't think I want to do that. And in fact, a lot of them did. And so the Jews said, oh, well, it's fine, you're just not Jewish. And the early church held to that same rule. So if you were going to become a follower of Jesus, then you had to go get the procedure done. And that hurt recruitment, as you might guess. And so Peter is fine with that. Paul starts to challenge that, right? The Apostle Paul. But Peter hasn't come to that conclusion yet. And Peter is having a dream in Joppa, and he sees this picnic blanket come down. And it's got giraffes on it, and it's got alligators and cows and sheep and things that don't chew the cud and shrimp and lobsters, and everything that you would throw in a good gumbo is on that thing. Maybe not giraffes, okay? But everything that you might throw in a good Louisiana dish is there on the sheet. And he says, nope, I don't eat that stuff. The rules say no. And God says, whatever I've called clean, you don't call unclean. And it takes him a minute because he keeps, right? Peter needs threes. And God says, don't call unclean what I've called clean. Back and forth, back and forth. Third time, finally he gets it. Okay, Lord, fine, I'll do it. Wakes up, encounters these people, these Gentiles, these uncircumcised Gentiles, these non-rule followers. They could follow the rules, but they don't. Why? Because it's a big imposition. It's just not something they want to do. Right? Okay. God speaks to Peter. And as Peter is speaking on behalf of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon these people. These people who hadn't followed the rules. These Gentiles. These people who were enemies of the people of God. These people who maybe they had forgotten what they fought over, but they were still enemies. The Holy Spirit breaks the rules. And Peter has a choice. You stand and you stomp your feet and you say, no, we're not changing the rules. This is how it is, and you better get along with it. Or you realize God's doing a new thing and you join in and you celebrate. I think that we are at a point in our churches, in our world, where there are people to whom the Lord and the Holy Spirit are pouring out blessings and love and acceptance and the gifts of the Spirit. And many of us in the church say, nope, those are not the rules. They've not followed the rules that I followed. I'm not going to have it. What if we took a lesson from Peter and we said, okay, Lord, I don't have to see another million people who think differently than me but are receiving the Holy Spirit before I get it. That Christ is for them too. And I would like to submit to you that no matter what rule somebody out there is breaking, no matter what rule that you and I consider to be unchallengeable, right? An aggressive rule follower like myself, somebody who it might give me a little twinge of, you weren't supposed to do it that way. But guess what? Holy Spirit didn't care, right? The Holy Spirit comes and blesses them just as much as me. And I am grateful for that. What if we as the church got out of the way of the Holy Spirit? And instead of saying, no, you don't belong because let me show you. Now, this isn't the book of discipline. Let me show you in the book of discipline where it says you can't do X, Y, and Z. And otherwise, the Holy Spirit's not for you or you can't be in the church. Imagine if we got out of the way and said, are you loved by God? Have you experienced Christ? Is the Spirit moving in your heart? Well, then you're my brother. You're my sister. What if we did that? Imagine in the two scenarios that I gave you today, these rule followers making the lady throw away her breast milk, or the folks at the school who said, not room for you. I know you've got special circumstances, but too bad. Imagine if they had applied the logic of the Spirit or the logic of Peter after his vision. Imagine if they had said, wow, I was wrong. There's an opportunity to bless someone who needs it, an opportunity to be a part of a good story and not a bad story. You see, this story for Peter had two forks in the road. He could have said, I don't care how many visions I have. This is the way it goes. We don't truck with Gentiles. We don't mess with these people. They're not on our team. No. And they could have experienced the Holy Spirit and then run into the brick wall of Peter. But instead, Peter chose the other path, the path of difficulty, the path of examining his own biases, the path of understanding that he might have had it wrong in the first place. But without Peter doing that, not a single one of us is in this place today, right? All of us, whether we're aggressive rule followers or whether we're those wild and crazy people who toss everything to the winds, okay? Red people, blue people, old people, young people, everybody here because Peter didn't get in the way of the Spirit. How much more of an impact can we have going forward if we allow the Spirit to work and we show that love? Peter and the church, to their credit, right? They complain about it, and then Peter says, no, this is what happened. Who am I to get in the way? What do they do in verse 18? They praise God and say, even to the Gentiles, God has given the repentance that leads to eternal life. My last message to you today is think about who you might insert. Who are your Gentiles? Who are your rule breakers that get on your nerves? Who are the people that you think, no, God's never going to accept those people? Who are they? Who can you insert in the Gentile spot? And how can you and I work to show them that they are beloved children of God, just as much as you, just as much as me? Amen.